Before the video begins, I want to say a quick thank you to all of my channel members and Patreons. You guys are amazing. I love the support, and I can't thank you guys all enough. Also, I hope you guys have a warm welcome for my boy, Booze and Booze. He's going to be doing three stories after the three stories that I do today. And, well, without further ado, let's get right into things. I'm going to start this story out by saying that at the time this happened, I was a 19-year-old sophomore in college. I was living on campus in their apartment-style dorms, and my college wasn't exactly the nicest part of the city, so I'd usually drive a little bit further to go grocery shopping, so I could be in a little more of a safer area. That night this happened, I was going to cook dinner and I realized I didn't have some of the spices I needed. Normally I would have just said forget it, and made something else, but the meat had already been thawed for a day, so I needed to cook it. I debated just going to the Walmart, that was about 2 minutes away, from my campus, but it was getting late, and I didn't want to go there by myself in the dark. That Walmart is right next to a major highway, and being a girl by herself, I felt uncomfortable risking it. So instead I went to the Walmart that was about 20 minutes away, a few towns over. I got to that other Walmart and bought the spices, along with a few other things, and checked out no problem. By the time I was done, it was now completely dark out. I went back to the driver's side of my car and putting a few bags in the passenger seat when I noticed a woman. She was an African American, maybe in her 50s, looking at the back of my car. At the time, I drove a really old car, and if you know your cars, it would be surprising that it was still running. I've had a few people in the past, older men usually, look at it or come up and ask me about my car. I figured that this is what the lady was doing, and I kind of ignored it until, out of the corner of my eye, I saw her come around my car and stop about 2 feet behind where I was standing. I was parked next to a parking lot median, so it's not like she was getting into the car next to me. "Excuse me," she said. I turned around, saying, "Yes?" Kind of prepared to answer. "What year's the model of your car?" "My church is giving out leftover boxes from food from our food drive to people in need. Could I give you one? We have them in our car over there." This immediately set off alarm in my head. I mean, she had just seen me put groceries in my car. Why would I need something else if I just went shopping? Also, the churches and food pantries around my college were usually cleaned out after they had their shopping days. For the people who really relied on things like food drives, there was hardly, if ever, anything that was just leftover. I had watched enough Criminal Minds and read enough Facebook posts to know that this felt like a human trafficking lure. I stuttered over my words a bit at first, trying to figure out what to say, but finally got out.
"Oh, no, thank you, I'm good. I'd like to go and see if someone could really use it."
I felt like that was an okay response, if she really was handing out boxes.
"Are you sure?"
"They're just right over there in my car," she said, taking a step and making the gap between us a little smaller. I was panicking. As she stepped closer, I tried to nonchalantly put my hand in my bag and look for the small pocket knife my dad had given me. My mind was racing as I tried to find the knife, but also tried to keep my face looking calm and not suspicious. I repeated to her that I was good, and the box of food should go to someone who could really use it. She finally seemed to let up, saying, "Okay. Have a good night. God bless you," and all that. I told her to have a good night as well, and then as soon as her back was turned, I got into my car and locked all the doors. As I pulled out of the parking spot, I noticed that the car she was walking to had three large men standing at the trunk of the car. They were barely illuminated by the parking lot lights, but I think it was an early 2000s white Nissan. As I tried to go down the parking lot aisle as fast as I could, I saw the men looking at the back of my car, just like the woman had. I then noticed their eyes were shifting too. They weren't looking at my car, they were looking at my license plate. Just as I got to the end of the aisle, waiting to turn, I saw two of the men get in the front seat. Then the other man and the woman got in the back seat. The car started and they started to pull out too. I was having a full-blown panic attack now. Just a week before, my friend had posted something on Facebook about how two men followed her and her mom through a Walmart. Again, I had watched enough crime shows to know that this wasn't painting a pretty picture. I finally got my opportunity to turn, but the car was coming up beside me. I made a quick decision to take a really odd way back to campus. I made a ton of turns and went through a lot of small streets. Instead of taking the ones or the two of the main roads, I don't think I saw the car again after I pulled out of the parking lot, but I was definitely not risking it. By the time I got back to my college, I had calmed down a little bit. I started to wonder, maybe you're overthinking. Believing there were actually good people in the world, I decided that if they were really giving out boxes of food, then hopefully it does go to someone in need. That was until I was walking behind my car, heading towards my building. There was an SF, faintly written in white, sidewalk chalk, on the brown paint of my car. I was shocked and terrified, knowing that it definitely did not put that there. I said out loud, "Oh my fucking god!" as I practically dropped my bags on the ground and rushed to wipe the chalk off with my sleeve of my jacket. My car had been tagged. After a few seconds of wiping, the chalk had been gone. So I locked my car, grabbed my bags, and raced to my building. I got into my dorm and saw the dinner I was supposed to make, but I had lost my appetite completely. I put everything away and went to my bedroom, still reeling over what had just happened the last 45 minutes. I sent the whole story as a Snapchat video to some of my friends, who were just as shocked as I was. My one friend, Sarah, said that she thinks SF stood for single female. It made sense, which made the whole experience that much scarier. I called my mom afterwards and told her everything that had happened. By the end of the call, she was sending me an Amazon package with pepper spray in it. I didn't go out after dark or by myself for about 2 weeks after this had happened. I'd have a friend from campus or work go with me, or I just wouldn't go. The whole situation was terrifying, but I think the strangest part of it all was that I was supposed to be there in a safer area. I drove all the way to Walmart because I had a bad feeling about the one that was closest to me. I started going to the Walmart that was closest to me after that. I never had a negative experience at the closer one since I started going. It's hard to believe that all the stuff I'd seen on TV and the internet could have almost happened to me. So, to the people in the Walmart parking lot in November of 2020, let's not meet ever again. My mom's dog, Punky, rest in peace, was a very sweet, loving dog. She was an ESA dog, but trained to be a service dog for PTSD before she lost her leg. I had never seen her get aggressive with anyone in my entire 12 years she had lived. She never growled or nipped at anyone, and she had no sense of smell, so she loved all animals and people. A real gentle giant amongst our little terriers, at 60 pounds. What I'm getting at here was that her barking at someone and being aggressive was so wildly uncharacteristic that I only saw it once. I, 11 female, was at home with my siblings, 2 male and 6 female, and then my stepdad at work, and my mom had ran to the gas station to grab a pack of cigarettes. It was only a mile or two away from us. For reference, we lived in a 2-bedroom trailer, in the middle of the woods, on a dead-end road at the time, and you had to really make an effort to get down to our road, find our house, navigate down our rickety driveway, and find the door. I'm sitting at the computer having a grand time watching YouTube videos, when all of a sudden all of our dogs, about 2 Boston Terriers and 1 Chihuahua, perk up and bark a few times. I started investigating down the hall. My siblings were napping in the bedroom at the end of the hall at the time, so I figured they were just staring and scared of the dogs. But then Punky sits up suddenly, stands up on the couch and puts her chest out. Her ears are perked up and her fur standing on end, her tail straight up, and then she starts to bark, loudly. I mean, the bark booms through the living room and echoes around, and all of a sudden she lunges off the couch and goes tearing down the hallway. I'm already on edge because I don't think I've heard her bark, ever. She's a Benji mix and her bark is more of a bang sound. So this was big, loud, and alert bark. I stand up and go down to the hallway, ready to fight off what I was assuming is a shadow monster in the hallway based on how the dogs are acting. But then I hear it. 3 knocks. We didn't get visitors because how weird our house was located wise. So my 11-year-old mind had no clue what to do here. The only people who showed up were family, and they didn't knock. so I slowly walked towards the door. The knock drew the attention of the dogs, and they came running back down the hallway, all except for Punky. I felt better now with our three yapper dogs in the room with me, even if they were all the size of New York City sewer rats. I opened the door just a bit, and standing on our porch is the sketchiest man I think I've ever seen. I can still picture him perfectly. He was really thin, tall man with dark hair, and a sunken face, bags under his eyes, and his half-managed hair. Sort of like he was just giving off a quick brush, and then figured, well, it's good enough. Everything about him seemed just a little too thin, a little too shallow, and his clothes were all a little too off. They were nice, but fake nice, you know? Like a clean, newer-looking t-shirt and new jeans. And he had what looked like a suit jacket on, and all his clothes were dark too, despite the fact that it was summer in Texas, and the weather was definitely into the hundreds on that day. He also had this plain, unlabeled bottle in his hand. It looked like the label had been covered up or taped over. I stared at him in confusion because I definitely didn't know this man, and I asked what he wants. He smiles at me in this way that was way too fake, like this exaggerated and forced grin, and he spoke in the same voice retail workers do. "Hey there, kiddo. I'm trying to sell this here carpet cleaner." And he shakes a bottle at me. "Mind if I come in and show you how good it works?" Alarms are going off my head because he just seemed so off. Looking back in an adult perspective, the fact that he didn't ask if my parents were home is unnerving, because he probably knew that they weren't, and that's why he was there in the first place. I should have told him to get off the property, and that I'd have to get my mom. Something, except what I did say. I didn't. Instead, I shook my head and said, "No, we don't have carpet." "Well, it works on other things." He took a big step towards the door and shook the bottle at me. I started to freak out and think to close the door, but the thing is, the front door didn't even lock. Small town, hard to access home. We never needed a lock, so that's basically useless. I'm sure there's something very wrong about to happen, and I'm terrified as I start to think what to do in a few seconds. I think I have to do it before something does happen, when all of a sudden I hear it. Punky had crept up from the hallway, lowered towards the ground with her teeth bared and snarling like she was feral. She had slobber just dripping from her mouth. Her ears were down and she was ready to pounce. The guy hears it too, and as I look towards Punky, she tries to lunge past me, and I just barely catch her with my legs as she tries her hardest to duck past me and attack this guy. He freaks out and runs off the porch without another word, booking it down the driveway as I let Punky out along with the rest of the dogs, and they start to chase him. Our small dogs chase him down the driveway and stop about halfway, barking and jumping about, but Punky stops just on the porch and watches him as her ears perked. She's staring in the distance until he disappears. I swear I saw someone join up with him running along as he got onto the road. The second he disappeared, Punky's entire body language changed, and she went back to being the sweet dog I know. No barking or growling, just laying around, mouth and throat covered in slobber still. I realize my siblings are still down the call and run to check on them, and when I get to the bedroom, my siblings were sleeping soundlessly still. But the bedroom window was wide open, the curtains pushed all to one side, and items in the dresser in front of the window all shoved around. Someone had tried to climb through the window, no doubt in my mind about it. From what I can gather, the bedroom window was visible from the couch, where Punky was sleeping, so I think someone was trying to climb through the window before Punky went after them, and scare them off, and the man at the door was meant to distract me. They definitely didn't expect Punky, a bigger dog, because most of the time she was with my mom inside while our small dogs were the ones that saw by public eye more often. I don't know what they intended to do, but after my mom got home, she took all of us to my aunt's house, and on our way there, I saw the men walking up to someone else's driveway. Men, plural, because we watched the second one split off and wait by the road. So to the two men who apparently were going door to door to sell their unlabeled carpet cleaner, I'd really not meet again. This happened in 2019, but still is in the back of my mind. I worked at Chick-fil-A. That night I was supposed to close, but I left at like 8 p.m.-ish. I already know I'm going to spend like 30 to 45 minutes driving around with my usual Pokemon stops. At 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, there were some cars on the roads, but not many. Smaller town with little police presence. Not much crime happens here. I've done this before, and I know which stops to go to. I'm driving to the spots I know I can reach from the inside of my car. Just got off work, and I'm standing and being busy all day. I wasn't about to go walk year round when it's dark outside anyways. The places I know have little to no cars at them. I pull into the parking lot by the high school field, spin the stop, and click on the view of the Pokemon. I get ready to pull on a residential street. I'm kind of just sitting at the stop sign for a bit. No cars behind me, and I'm not really in a hurry. Blinker, then I turn left into the street. I see two cars in front of me, an older white SUV and a sedan in front of that. They're about four blocks ahead, and I notice the SUV isn't really in its lane. It's driving in the middle of the road, like it wants to pass the sedan. I definitely could have just passed it. The road wasn't really wide, and there was no oncoming cars. I'm glancing down at my phone and the cup holder, trying not to go too fast. Kind of walking at this point. Then I noticed the white SUV was driving in the middle of the road, and it's driving really slow on the shoulder of the road. Maybe they noticed me, wondering what I was doing. Maybe I'm weirding them out. I click my phone shut and drive normally. I'm nearly behind the SUV now, and it speeds up quickly, taking a hard right turn onto a street. I see the SUV pull into a driveway, and as I'm passing that side of the street, I see the SUV going in reverse, and now it's backing out of the driveway. I'm behind the other sedan now, at a four-way stop. In my rearview mirror, the white SUV is turning back on the street. It's now going to be behind me. The sedan waits for its turn at the four-way stop, and then it turns left. I wait my turn and go straight. I'm watching to see with the white SUV if it goes straight too. And it does. The SUV had to wait for its turn at the four-way stop, so I'm a good 4 to 6 blocks ahead on the residential street. I want to lose this car, so I'm going like 30 miles per hour, when the speed limit is maybe 20 to 25. I turn behind a church strip mall, and the church has a playground behind it, but it's pretty much an alleyway. I lost the SUV and I stop in the alleyway waiting, looking in my side mirror, and sure enough, the white SUV is barreling down the street. It almost passed me as it was going so fast, but it stops me and it turns into the alley where I'm parked, coming towards my car. I'm freaked out at this point. This alley slash street is dark. There's no street lights, and the stores in the strip mall are all abandoned, but the church is on the other side and it's well lit, so I want to go there. I speed down the alley around the building. The SUV is doing the same thing. I turn around the building and I can't see them in the rearview mirror. I stop my car and park in front of the well-lit church doors, basically parked in the fire lane. I'm watching my rearview mirror waiting for this car. I know it's back there and it's going to drive around me. They'll see it was all just a misunderstanding. The SUV is there. It peeks around the building corner, and they stop and wait a little bit before it turns towards where I'm parked. The SUV slowly drives my car. They pass me slowly, and I don't want to look at them. From my peripheral vision, I see one is outlined in the driver's seat. As they pass me, I can feel the presence of eyes on me, and I can see their heads turning. I'm pretty uncomfortable, but I don't want to start a conversation with them, so I don't roll my windows down, and I don't want them to look at me. I don't want to acknowledge them. I really just want them to see that I'm not who they probably thought I was. They pass me completely, and the SUV starts to drive towards the exit of the parking lot. But then the SUV starts to circle around again, making a big loop around in the empty church parking lot. My body fills with dread. I'm actually pretty scared now. I gave them the benefit of the doubt, but now they're coming back around. I don't want to know what they want anymore. When they start to circle back around, I take off out of the parking lot. But so do they. My car bottoms out, and I speed down the street. So does theirs. The police station is way out near the countryside of the outskirts of the town, but there's a police annex out on this street. Sometimes there's cops parked out in front. I know I'm just going to the park there, and if they still follow me, I'll call 911. This car is following me 100%. They've turned when I've turned, sped when I've sped. And as I turn my blinker to take a right in the annex, they turn left, and they're gone. I told my friends and family about this quickly after. No one I knew drove that kind of car. It was also an older model, so I don't think it could have been in a rental. I don't know anyone who wouldn't have done this to me, and think it was funny. I did make a police report, but I didn't get a license plate, so they couldn't do anything. I also know what kind of car it was. I would have noticed any older white SUVs for months after. Never saw that exact car ever again.
Got a report of a missing husband. He told his wife and family of six children that he was going to get his tire changed, but never returned. And this was 12 hours ago. They had purchased another house in a neighboring community, and the relationship with the wife was under pressure. So the wife assumed he was staying at the other house and claimed he would never kill himself. The strange thing about this report, though, was that he emptied his personal bank account into his wife's this morning as well. The wife explained this off, saying that they had recently had a fight about finances, and he agreed that he was bad at money and maybe they should just have a joint account that she controls. On a hunch, I asked a 14-year-old boy if there were any areas in the mountains nearby that his father enjoyed going. The son identified a road about 10 miles away. It was nearing midnight, but I decided to drive to the top of this old abandoned Forest Service road. As I drove through the snow and started to climb the road, I felt a gut feeling that I would 100% find this guy up there, either thinking about to or had already committed the act of suicide. The snow-laid gravel road had some sign of travel, but no real indication of how fresh the vehicle tracks could be. As I reached the top of the road, after an hour of travel, I was honestly surprised that I did not find his black truck. I spent the drive back down thinking about gut feelings and how they're unreliable. I somehow felt different about this one. As I continued down this road, I did notice over a dozen smaller roads branching off, but none of them were mapped, and I'd already spent too much time on a single occurrence in a busy city with too few police officers. Nonetheless, I decided to check a single one of these secondary roads, and about 3/4 of the way down, I picked a road at random to check. Sure enough, my headlights lit up the back of a black truck about 100 yards past the first corner. Even if I hadn't memorized the license plate beforehand, I wouldn't have to run it. This was clearly his. I radioed that I had found the truck, parked my vehicle, and walked the 20 feet to his truck with my heart beating like I was doing it at a sprint rather than at a normal walk. What I found inside was a mess of brains and blood, caused by a self-inflicted shotgun wound under the chin. I'll save you from the description. There was just something about that gut feeling while traveling up this abandoned and quiet mountain road, followed by a sense of being tricked by the gut feeling, then finding out it was true by discovering a gruesome scene. Having to wait 3 hours next to his truck waiting for body removal, then to end it all by having to go to his family, who was expecting good news, and then having to deliver the worst news possible. It all still makes me feel creeped out to this day. So I, a 24 male, have lived on my own for about 2 years now. I have a very small bungalow I'm able to pretty comfortably afford. Inside this bungalow, I have an attic area. At a guess, I'd say it's about 5 by 5 meters in size. And you can really only stand in there in the very center. Anyways, I work night shift at a factory, where I basically just sit on my phone all night. So I usually get in around 8 a.m. I was coming home last Thursday during a heavy storm and got into the house and just went to sleep. When I woke up, I got on my phone and saw that I was so tired last night that I didn't check any of my notifications. I have a Ring camera outside my door which shows me anyone who would have come into my room. I saw that it had been tripped around 7:42 a.m. And I had gotten to the house around 8:10 to 8:15 a.m. I checked the video and saw that it was a man. He was pressed right up to the door and was fumbling around with the handle. He did this for about 10 seconds until he spotted the camera. Once he did, he quickly scuttled away. This unsettled me, but didn't entirely creep me out or anything. I got up to go make some food and discovered something in my kitchen. My back window was open. I, of course, instantly began having the thoughts of a home intruder, but slowly chilled myself out as I convinced myself I had left it open. The rest of the day consisted of this, just noticing small things that didn't seem right and scaring myself. All up until a point, I leave for my shift at 10 p.m. and was watching some TV around 9 o'clock-ish. I spotted something that made my heart leap out of my throat. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see it. My attic entrance was slowly being slid open. I can so vividly remember that I began questioning my sanity. Surely I was just hallucinating or something. I looked over at it and absolutely saw something that made me so much more scared. I saw fingers wrap around the hatch and begin moving it more. I didn't know what to do. I could feel the panic beginning to really get to me, and I wasn't sure if I should leave the house and call the police, or if I should try and yell at whoever was up there. I chose a mixture of both. I began dialing 999 and ran to my bedroom where I could lock the door. As soon as I began running, I heard the hatch almost tear off with the speed they moved it. And I arrived at my bedroom door. I looked down the corridor, watched for a second, seeing only a little slice of the blackness up in my attic. And I saw human hands still holding onto the sides of my ceiling, and I yelled,
"Whoever is there, I'm calling the police, and I have a gun. If you take a step out, I will fucking shoot you."
The adrenaline was really making my hands and voice shake, but I tried sounding as tough as I could. Then I saw something I truly do not think I will ever forget. The hand slipped back into the dark, and he dropped down. I slammed my door shut and locked it as quickly as I could. The call went through, and I was able to get on a line with the police, and they dispatched officers to my house. I then told them I didn't know if the man was armed or not, and the dispatcher told me to stay on the line. I heard the man walking up to my door, rattling the door handle. He also seemingly went through my cupboards in my kitchen, as I heard a lot of commotion in there. Truth be told, I don't know why he stayed. I would have just left the house, but he stayed right up until the police came in and arrested him. Apparently, he was a homeless man and was armed with a knife from my kitchen, and had recently been seen in that area trying to get into other houses. Truth be told, I'm very frightened to sleep still. I now sleep with my bedroom door locked and all my windows closed. I also sleep with a knife under my pillow. I know this is unlikely to ever happen again, but I just cannot forget the way he dropped down from my attic. So that's the story of the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. I made this account to tell it, because I feel like if I write it down like this, it will feel less like a real thing and more like just a story. This happened to me when I was growing up, around 2004-2005, and I was about 13 years old. It took place in a rural area, a good ways outside of the town of Uvalde, Texas. The town itself was really small, and back then, not much to look at. It's just one of those towns that really isn't on the way to being anywhere important. My father knew someone who owned a deer lease that was about 1,000 acres down outside that area and was complaining about a ton of hogs that were tearing up their land. Being open season on hogs in the south, my dad thought he would surprise me that summer and take us down for a week to go hunting for those hogs. Not only did that help him with networking for his job, but also gave us some quality father-son time. I remember the drive down there from Dallas was torture. It was about 7 hours in my dad's hardtop Jeep Wrangler. That car was so uncomfy. I hated it. All I had to do was either stare out the window or try to beat Super Mario Land 2 on my Game Boy Pocket, something I was never able to accomplish in my youth. The drive obviously took most of the day, so we got there in the early evening. The owner of the land had told my dad that he hadn't had anyone lease it that year, and the cabin in the property might be a little rough and dusty. I didn't really care. At this point in my life, I had been in the scouts for a couple of years and spent a lot of my free time in the woods or fishing with friends. Needless to say, I was pretty comfortable roughing it. So after unlocking the gate and driving to the cabin on the land we settled in, the cabin was pretty rough. Dust and dirt everywhere. Flies. I remember that it looked like some raccoons had gotten inside the cabin and crapped on the floor. After cleaning up a bit and getting the sleeping bags out, then setting up the cots, we decided to sleep. Something about that night was weird. I was never able to get comfortable enough to fall asleep for any restful amount. I couldn't put my finger on why, but I had a feeling of being watched. I was finally able to drift off for what I guessed was maybe an hour. When we woke up, it was early, around 7 a.m. We decided to scout around the land for tracks and signs of hogs, and find a good place to set up a blind. It was the summer, and horribly hot in the afternoon, so morning was the best time to be out and about. After walking for an hour or so, we came into an area of trees, lightly dense, and luckily found some signs of hogs. Typical torn up ground where they had been rooting, so we followed them into the trees. I was looking for more signs when my dad stopped me with his arm. I remember looking up and seeing someone standing about 50 yards away. Some of their body was blocked by trees. This was private land, so they definitely weren't supposed to be there. We also had confirmation from the owner before we got the lease that nobody was out there. Not to mention the gate was locked up when we first arrived. The person was wearing some bright colored red jacket. We slowly walked toward them. My dad called out something like,
"Hey, we're hunters. This is private land."
The person didn't move at all, dead still. We were about 30 yards away, and we could see that he was turned away from us with his hands in his pocket. Weird thing was that this person was in a ski jacket and what looked to be ski pants. Again, this is Texas in the summer. It was easily about 98 degrees outside by then. My dad called out again. No reaction. He told me to stay behind him, unsnap the clip to his pistol holster. We approached the person's right side, and then my dad told me to stay put, around 20 yards away. I stayed down and crouched. Watched him circle around to the front of the man, all while talking to him, asking if he was okay. He finally passed around to the front of the man, and my dad stood up straight with a confused look on his face. I called out and said,
"What's wrong?"
He called back saying, "It's a mannequin." I walked over to it while my dad stood there just staring at it. As I got closer, one thing stood out the most. The clothes it was wearing were brand new. No dust, no sap, no bird droppings, or signs of being outside for more than a day at most. At that moment, I looked at my dad and I could see him get worried. Almost immediately, I felt that feeling again. Like we were being watched, and I know my dad felt it too. I wanted to start crying. I remember feeling suddenly so scared. My dad whispered, "We're leaving right now." He grabbed my hand, drew his pistol, and scanned the area the entire way back, all while I was trying to hold back panic tears. We got back as fast as we could. I was terrified, so it felt like an eternity, but in reality, it was only about 45 minutes max. After returning, we packed up and beat feet. Drove all the way back home that day, and didn't talk much all the way back. I remember right when we left, my dad called his buddy, the owner of the land, and he was confused. He said that he would go check it out next week when he was in the area. He also said that he never had any issues with people because his property was high fenced. My dad isn't normally a paranoid person, but me being young and at least possibly having someone there we didn't know about, he decided to be cautious and just get the hell out of there. So we got back home, we talked. My dad wasn't able to sleep the night before as well. He had the same feeling, but didn't want to wake me because he thought I was sleeping. Turns out that next week, he got a call from that buddy. Checked the whole property. Never found a trace of anyone. No mannequin, no nothing. This story still makes my hair stand on end. No idea what that was. But the paranoid man in me thinks it was some kind of trap or something. Not the creepiest thing that happened to me in the woods, but definitely top three.
Hey friends, I want to thank you for watching today's video or listening to it. And if you haven't yet, please consider subscribing to the channel. It means a lot and it definitely helps out. We're pretty close to 30,000 subscribers. And honestly, when I first started the channel, I did not think we'd ever get here. This is crazy. And a huge shout out to Booze and Booze. He is an amazing, very talented man. If you check out his intro, I was able to animate that. As a lot of you guys know, I do animations now. Super cool. And again, if you guys want to submit your own stories, shoot me over an email, originaljensen@gmail.com. Appreciate that so much. And Oh God, Morty. Anyways, all right, you guys take it easy. Have a great night, great evening, and yeah. All right, bye everybody.